Tonight, in place of a prayer of our own, I would like to read to you Paul's prayer as I've presented it there in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And he prays there, "If there be any comfort in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of spirit, if there is any feelings of compassion, fill up my joy by being united in your thinking and loving, one in soul. There must be no rivalry among you, no vain glory, but in humility look up to each other. Don't concentrate on your own needs, but think of each other. In your mind, you must be the same as Christ Jesus." Well, Paul there is obviously recalling someone whom he personally didn't know. Jesus had died before Paul came in contact with the community of Jesus' disciples, but through them and in his own interior prayer life he came to know Jesus, and as we come to know him. And obviously Paul was fascinated by and moved by and convinced of Jesus' love. In our first lecture on the first night we saw very briefly as a rapid introduction why Jesus was so important to get to know him, and we saw because those who knew him found that he gave meaning to their lives, and precisely a meaning of love, in fact religious love. But it was his love that was his most impressive, immediate presenting quality. And so tonight as we begin our first lecture then to ask the question, who is Jesus? It seems to me that's the only place that I know where we can start. And I'd like to spend the evening with you as prayerfully as possible contemplating Jesus and watching him love. In fact, I think it can be said that everything else that we can come to know about Jesus is simply, if simply is the right word, a dimension of his love. It's a colour of his way of loving. It's the source of his love, or the fruit of his love. In fact, his love is the key focus of those who got to know him, and there Paul's prayer obviously witnesses to that when he's encouraging his community to have the same mind, the same heart, the same qualities of communication with people as Jesus had. He's talking about his love. Paul in his letters has phrases like this to the Philippians, for example, in chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "God knows how much I miss you all, loving you as Christ Jesus loves you." And if you just take that sentence from the letter very simply, obviously Paul is convinced of Jesus' love, and obviously the people he's writing to are. He just automatically comes out with little phrases like that. He's saying, "I love you the way Jesus loves you." And they all remember what that was like. And when he, in the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9, the references you already have, he exhorts the community, he says, "Remember how generous the Lord Jesus was." And I'm sure you can imagine the people who heard that would remember. And they'd remember, yes, that's right, how generous he was to me, to my mother, to my brothers, to my sister, to my friend. And there'd be memories flooding into the minds of those who knew Jesus, loved him and touched him. In his letter to Rome, the 15th chapter, verses 5 to 7, Paul says this, "May God help you all to be tolerant with each other, following the example of Christ Jesus." And he goes on to say, "It can only be to God's glory for you to treat each other in the same friendly way as Christ treated you. That's a lovely expression, isn't it? To treat each other in the same friendly way as Christ Jesus treated you. And scattered throughout Paul's letters, you find statements like this: be friends with one another, and kind, forgiving each other. Follow Christ by loving as he loved you, giving himself up in our place as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The image of a fragrant offering, of a perfume. Jesus' life was like in the garden of this world, which was pretty sterile in many places. In the garden there was suddenly this spring perfume, there was this fragrance, this person, Jesus, whose love, as it were, called to heaven, whose love showed things that no one had ever seen before. In fact, Paul, to conclude this little tiny reminder to you of Paul's letters, which are full of such statements, he's got a phrase there where he says in the 2 Corinthians 1:20, however many the promises God made, the yes to them all is in Jesus. A beautiful line to reflect on. All the promises of God that were made to those people, and they went right back, Abram and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets and so on, and you might like tonight to think of all the promises that God has made to you, promises of life, promises of a future, promises of love, promises of, well, go through your own memories, all your hopes and all your dreams. And here, what a wonderful thing to say about Jesus by Paul, who's in a way saying it second hand, if I can put that a little inaccurately, but you probably know what I mean. He never actually saw Jesus or lived with him in his time in Galilee. But he says, however many promises, the yes to them all was in Jesus. He said yes to Mary of Magdala and to Paul and to Peter, rather, and James and John. He was if you're a teacher, what a lovely thing. All the hopes of the students, the yes to their hopes is in you. Wouldn't that be nice? And if you're a mother or a father or an uncle or a friend, to be yes to people, to be an affirmation to people, to say yes to their hopes and dreams. Well, we'd all like that. Here's someone who did it, Jesus, and he did it astonishingly. And so his most radiant, immediate quality of his personality was this incredible love.